Summer camp, play dates, real dates. There's a lot to parenting in normal times, but parenting during this pandemic has its moments and its challenges.
Yeah, maybe you work from home and have to squeeze it in between taking care of the kids, or you have to go to work and your kids stay home, or you help take care of a grandparent. Hi, Jenny.
Hey, Tom. You're Tom Hudson, and you usually host the Sunshine Economy.
You're Jenny Stiletovich, and you cover the environment for WLRN. We both have kids, and like so many other people, we've been parenting through this pandemic.
First it was at-home learning, or college kids coming back from school early. Now it's summer. Should the kids be together with their friends? How about taking care of grandparents or other family members? Have you been able to spend more time together as a family? If you have to go to work, how are you coping with risk of bringing the virus home?
Share your story of parenting through the pandemic this hour with us. 800-743-9576. 800-743-9576. You can also connect with us on the WLRN Facebook page.
This is WLRN Connects, a chance to connect and share stories. On this Monday, let's talk about parenting during the pandemic. I'm Jenny Stiletovich.
Hey, Jenny. I'm Tom Hudson. Share your story. How are you parenting through COVID-19? 800-743-9576. We're live during this 9 a.m. hour on this Monday. I want to hear your stories. Join us. 800-743-9576. We're also streaming live on the 9 a.m. hour on WLRN's Facebook page. You know, Jenny, normally we would be connecting with friends and coworkers over coffee, maybe happy hour, going out to lunch or out on a boat. But, you know, because of COVID-19, we're just encouraged to keep our distance, except for our families, right? If you're living under one house, you're spending an awful lot of time with your families these months. So, all right, Jenny, let's go full disclosure, big transparency. Both of us are parents. And like all parents, we're just trying our level best to parent through the pandemic.
That's right. We're basically, at least in our house, having to come up with a new playbook, or in our case, again, no playbook at all. You know, I feel like my kids are so plugged in that they actually might be enjoying these stay-at-home orders a little too much.
Yeah, they seem to be filling up the hours one way or the other. And, you know, lots of hand-wringing over what should you be doing? What can they do? What should they be doing safely, right? So join us and share your story of parenting during the pandemic. What are your worries about your kids? Maybe, you know, are they supposed to be headed to kindergarten in the fall, or are they looking for their first job? And I'm also wondering, you know, Jenny, what's your parenting confession, right? Like, what are the
kids? Just one?
Yeah. What are the kids? Well, we'll start with one. What are you letting the kids get away with now that you just normally wouldn't? 800-743-9576, live in the 9 a.m. hour. Join us, 800-743-9576. You can also add your comment. We're streaming live video right now on WLRN's Facebook page.
So our first guest is Besna Kashani. He's a parent of two kids, and he teaches orchestra to kids. Welcome, Mr. Kashani. I should tell listeners that you were my son's middle school orchestra teacher, which is why I may fall back into calling you Mr. Kashani instead of Besnik. So tell me, what's summer been like so far for you and your family?
Well, thank you for having me, Tom and Jenny. Well, you know, as for most of the people, it was quite a shock, you know, that moving from teaching live to, first of all, teaching online for me as a teacher. And then, you know, the aspect of, oh, wait, my son is home too, and he has to do online school. And then, oh, wait, I have another two-year-old, and he's here all day. So it was quite a transformation in the beginning. It was a challenge because we had to coordinate our schedules, Zoom meetings. Does my son have a Zoom meeting at a certain time? Do I have a Zoom meeting at a certain time? So we ended up really transforming one of our bedrooms, a guest bedroom, into our school day office. We put a desk in there. We had a lounge type of chair in there, so we would take turns. My son would sit at the desk, I would sit at the lounge chair, and then we'd take turns, and then sometimes sit on the bed. But that's where we were most of the time. I would say that the two-year-old was very happy during this time because we were home all the time, you know? Everybody was home.
Right.
So it was quite a feat, but, you know, and then he would kind of try to knock in and come in our door while we were doing our Zoom meetings, and and mom had to take him away, and that was difficult. And then, you know, after a while, I realized, my son is falling a little behind in some of these assignments. And then you realize, well, maybe it's not all on him because the teachers are trying to figure out where they're posting all of their work. And then there's this platform, and then there's this platform. So we had to kind of go through all of that until we kind of got a hang of it.
Well, yeah, and so you had the advantage and maybe the disadvantage of knowing too much of being both a teacher and a parent. And how much of the teaching responsibilities for your older son did you sort of take on? I mean, I think that was a challenge for a lot of people. It's like, I'm working from home and I'm becoming, their teacher, or at least their teaching assistant maybe.
Well, I took, I became basically I took the responsibility of checking in on what the assignments are. So I would say we shared it half-half between me and my wife. But you can't really put a number on that, right? So, it was mostly keeping up with the grades and keeping up with what the assignments are. And then, of course, helping out, with certain assignments. Do we write this? Do we write that? Did we do the music assignments? I'm the music teacher. I don't want to be embarrassed being the music teacher and my son is not doing well in music, right? We don't want that. We don't want that to happen. So we worked it out together, and of course. After a while, we put a schedule as to, 9 to 3, this is what we're doing, or 8:30 to 3, this is from 9 to 10, we do this, and from 10 to 11, and that helped, because without that schedule, it was really difficult. It was really difficult, and I know I felt for the teachers on the other end as well. They're being bombarded with the amount of work from the kids, and,
Besnik, the other piece that's challenging of this is that whole social fabric of kids' lives has just been kind of eliminated, right? You can put school online, but it's tough to put that social fabric online. We had a comment from Jody on Facebook that says it's super hard for her 16-year-old daughter to see all of her friends out together like nothing's going on. She knows she's doing the right thing, but she's still struggling. Yeah. Now, I know you don't have a teenager, Besnik, but even, for your oldest son, how are you managing friends, the desire to get together?
It is very difficult. It is difficult. In one way, we are kind of, I don't want to say lucky, but, our son is a bit of an introvert, so he doesn't require too many of his friends, but... we have a couple of neighborhood kids that he hangs out with, with social distancing. And then one of his friends moved away, so that was a little sad.
Yeah.
But basically, we have become also the social part of my son's life. We talk to him, and then he has his cousins in Canada that he connects with through FaceTime and so on and so forth. And that's how he communicates. And then when they would do their Zoom meetings at school, that was a part of what he needs, but it was not a substitute. And
no.
I feel that that's the part that is missing the most. Yeah.
Besnik and Jenny, I'll share this quick story. Just last night, I was having dinner with my youngest son, who's is going into middle school. And we were talking about all the different options that we need to decide as a family. Like all families are going to have to decide, what school is going to look like and what's best for them. And so I was talking to him about it. And he had this moment of real clarity, right, that kids can sometimes have. And he says, so if I go to school online, how am I going to make any new friends in the new school? And it just, there's another piece of my heart that just broke a little bit to say, what the kids... young adults are going through, and parents, it's so unprecedented, but thankfully we've got a few more years of experience of life, but it just, again, really hit me about how how difficult it is to be a kid during these times.
And it's also changing. I mean, they communicate differently than us. I wonder how generationally different they'll be. Like, Mr. Hashani, like, you had to teach kids virtually and have Zoom sessions with your students. And did you see a difference in how they related to you? I feel like my kids sometimes are more comfortable talking online.
I have to say that seeing my students online, you find things about them that you actually did not know when you would see them face to face. And I'm gonna say the word again, especially the introverts, right?
Right.
And they were so much more comfortable, especially in the chats. They would post things, they would say things. And then sometimes you're like, I don't recognize this child. Wow, that, you know. For some of them, they felt more comfortable. Some of them, it was really, really difficult. It was difficult. They were struggling. But then going through these, you know, as a music teacher, you know, you always have sort of the pulse on the classroom when you are face to face and you understand what people are going through. You know, there's no facial expressions now, there's no body language, there's no talking. But even through those Zoom meetings, you know, I was able to find out things about kids. You know, we had a grandfather who passed away from the virus during this time, and then we had a parent who had to self quarantine, and you know, and the student was upset because I got, well, my dad is in the bedroom and for 14 days is not coming out, and you know, and we know that he's being self quarantined. That was really difficult, you know, to go through.
Right,
but,
and
I was thinking, well, if this was a live thing, it was a different situation because, you know, the friends are there, the kids are there for each other, and they go through some of these issues much easier. But being isolated like that, it was really, really hard.
Well, I wanted to ask you about the trauma and if you worry about trauma on your kid, your own students, and for you, I just learned this recently. I didn't realize that you grew up in Kosovo and you left just as the war was starting. And I wondered if that experience for you, well, first of all, tell us a little bit about that experience, because I'm wondering how it's sort of influencing what you're, you know, how you're dealing with things now.
Well, it's funny because, you know, the similarities between my experience back home and during the war and what has happened here, you know, it's a totally different experience. But the feelings are the same. The feeling of not knowing what we're going into, anxieties, and then seeing how people are acting is very similar. You know, seeing the stores empty, you know. The one thing we didn't have back home was a toilet craze, right? That never happened. Like, toilet paper craze, that didn't happen. But
the uncertainty, though.
The uncertainty is always there. And, but, you know, then you start, you know, you kind of find solace in the fact that, you know, okay, you know, we are in the richest country in the world, right? And things cannot be as bad, right? There's no bomb being dropped on our heads and nobody's kicking us out of our apartment. And I remember we were anxious one day and sitting with my son, with Harris, and this was something that stuck to my head. And he said, why are you guys so worried? It's not like the virus is going to enter our house and eat and destroy our house like a hurricane would, you know? And that's, I guess, the way that he was seeing the situation. But going back to the trauma, yeah, this is me being a teacher who always wants to be with the kids, communicate with the kids. I think it's causing trauma on me, and let alone how much trauma is going to cause on the kids. You know,
right.
Because the aspect, it's like all the aspects of teaching that every teacher loves is interacting with the children, seeing the results. But it feels that we're stuck only dealing with mostly with the paperwork, right? And not with a thing we really, really like to do. Because, you know, every job has its pros and cons. Yeah. And you're dealing with the cons more than the pros.
Yeah.
So Besnik,
hold on the line here. We've got a caller, William, in Miami. Go ahead, William. You're on the radio.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I love your program. I just wanted to share a couple of thoughts. First of all, my son is 9 years old, and I remind him that this is only going to last for a short while, that it's not permanent, you know, to keep his hopes high. And for me, one of the toughest things is putting the mask on his little face. And as far as socializing goes, we've been staying in the house for the most part, going out to the park daily, you know, keeping away from most people. And I would like to have him interact with other children. However, I'm concerned that, you know, he may put other children at risk, whereas I'm a single parent and his mother doesn't see the pandemic as difficult to deal with as I do, in terms of she socializes very much. And so that's a challenge to me in terms of, how would I handle that? You know,
right. Two household families are tough.
Yeah. So, I mean, she's in that 25 to 34 age range. And, you know, and so do you have any thoughts that you may want to, you know, share with that? I mean, in terms of our small household, I live with, my mother is with us now. She's between here and California for about half the year, but she has been staying with us because she was stopped here, you know, at the time of the pandemic. And she's 72 years old. So I feel like our family is, you know, at a very high risk. But, you know, I want him to be able to, you know, spend time with his mother. And it had been since the announcement of the pandemic way back around closer to February, March, where he's been staying only in our home. And yet last night he spent the night for the first time over there. And there was two visitors. And, you know, one was not masked. One was partially masked. So I was just wondering if you had anything you'd like to share. Maybe share about that.
Appreciate you sharing the story with us, William. This is difficult, right? There are answers that are so different for every household because every family is so different and the dynamics are so different, even as we're all dealing with the pandemic. William, thanks for joining the conversation. Best of luck to you and your family.
Yeah, all the best. Thank you.
Yeah. 800-743-9576 to join the conversation. You heard William's story. Maybe you have an idea about how he can navigate this and talk about it with his family dynamic or how you're wrestling with it. 800-743-9576. We're also streaming live video in the 9 o'clock hour on WLRN's Facebook page. Besnik, I'm wondering, how are you talking about the next school year, around your kitchen table with your kids?
Well, I brought it up to my son, to Harris, and I asked him, so, hey, we have to vote as two parents, my wife and I, about this new plan. And we talked about the pluses and the minuses and the, you know, the pros and cons. And you know, and he says that he wants to do 100% online school because he's still afraid, especially now, I think, with a new spike in viral infections in South Florida, he is afraid that people are not taking it seriously. And he has biked around the neighborhood and he's seen some of his neighborhood friends, and he is worried that they're not practicing social distancing. So maybe if I asked him 2 or 3 weeks ago, maybe he would have been. Actually, when we talked about this earlier, he told me that he would feel comfortable. He misses school and being in the building and being with other kids. But seeing this, I think, you know, and, you know, watching this constantly on the media, the numbers on the rise and what's going on, I think that's what he told us. So,
yeah. Wow.
It is really interesting.
Tough decisions.
Well, it is a tough decision,
yeah. Well, thank you so much, Mr. Hashani, for being with us. It's really nice to hear your voice again, and best of luck to you and your family.
Same here, I'll talk to you guys hopefully again soon. And nice talking to you, Tom, as well.
Yes very good. Thanks, Besnik. I appreciate it. We're going to continue talking about parenting during the pandemic. How are you dealing with the family dynamic? Kids at home, maybe adult kids have came home early from college or just graduated college and trying to look for that first job in this economy. What are you guiding them, or maybe you're kind of parenting up to a grandparent, a aunt or an uncle. 800-743-9576 to join our conversation here live in the 9 a.m. hour. 800-743-WLRN. We're also streaming live on WLRN's Facebook page.
Welcome back to WLRN Connects. I'm Jenny Stiletovich.
And I'm Tom Hudson. Today, we're talking about parenting during the pandemic. Working parents, how are you managing working at home if your job allows it? What about if you can't work from home, if you have to go to work? And what about mom and dad? What about aunts or uncles, grandparents? Share your story with us, 800-743-9576. Join our conversation about parenting during the pandemic here during the 9 a.m. hour on WLRN Connects. We're also streaming live during the 9 a.m. hour on WLRN's Facebook page, 800-743-9576. Jenny, we've got a call from Pembroke Pines. Miriam is on the line. Miriam, thanks for calling in. Go ahead.
Oh, hi. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to reiterate, you know, the same things I've heard. I'm a teacher, high school teacher. So it was very hard to teach chemistry and AP bio online, and we had to make that switch, you know, very rapidly. I also have a high schooler that I was concerned, you know, helping him, two college students home, another one working at home. And because my daughter is a social worker at a hospital, I was taking care of my granddaughter. So it was hard doing Zoom lessons with my granddaughter sometimes on top of me, you know, wanting to sleep. It was very, very hectic. But at the same time, I'm also concerned going back to school full time, knowing that, you know, some kids are not social distancing, some parents aren't. And I have an elderly, you know, my mom is at home. She's 89. Mm. I'm very nervous about going back to work and potentially getting sick and getting, you know, other people sick.
Yeah. Miriam, I'm wondering, how are you talking about the virus in your house with your family? Do you talk about it a lot?
Yes. So luckily we're a large family. So when we've had, you know, our birthday parties or my son turned 21, you know, we had a big party because it's a lot of us. You know, we're a family of six children. But
was that during the pandemic that you had the party?
Yes, because we're all at home.
Okay.
So,
fair enough.
We're all at home. So our party was just our family, you know, it's 12 of us when you include, you know, the children and the husband and wife. But my son just went back to FSU and he told me he sees, you know, parties going on and he's staying away because he understands, you know, we talk about the science, the virus. So, we're following all the guidelines and, you know, we see that other people aren't. So they're thinking, you know, when my son came back from FSU, I had him get tested, even though he told me, you know, he social distanced and he didn't, you know, party, but he's being careful, but still.
Miriam, I appreciate your call. Thanks for joining our conversation.
Thank you.
You know, Jenny, it's another version of that, talk sometimes you have with your kids when you tell them they have to do something and they come back with, yeah, but my friend so-and-so gets to do it the other way, right? I mean, now it may be wearing masks or hanging out with friends or social distancing or lack thereof.
Right. I mean, they say, why can't we do it like they do it? Why do you have to be so strict?
right. Exactly. Yeah.
So our next guest is Valencia McDuffie. She works in human resources and she has two kids. Her daughter's 22 and works in marketing in Oakland, California, and she has a 17-year-old son. So Valencia, tell us a little about your kids.
Oh, good morning.
Good morning.
I have two kids that I am very proud of. My daughter is, she's a graduate of University of Florida and moved to California for her position in September, early September.
I have a Gator, too.
Go Gators. Right. So, you know, nothing like your first job and you get to work from home, you know, 6 months into it. So definitely different from the first position I had. And my son is 17 years old. He's a student at Charles Flanagan High School. Baseball player, will be a senior. And, you know, the college search and the whole way we're doing things now is very, very different from what we did when my daughter was preparing for college. Because
how
the world
is it different?
Has changed.
The world has definitely changed. So how are you doing things differently?
When my daughter was preparing for college, we visited physically. So we made some fun out of it with the family and, you know, traveled, visited schools. This time it's virtual. SAT prep is different. You know, the options may be limited too. You know, fortunately my son has another year in high school, so we'll have the opportunity, I think, to see how things will be a year from now. But it's a little scary.
Do you think it's making the choice harder for him or easier in a way because some decisions are being made? I know when my older kids went through the search at the beginning, narrowing things down, the whole thing seemed overwhelming. But then to not be able to visit the campuses, I can't even imagine the thought of agreeing to go to a school you had never seen before.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's harder because of the uncertainty. The options may be limited. Well, what happens today or what we say today may be different next week, too. So I think that's what makes it so hard, because I'm a planner, so like I like to have everything in line. And you make a decision today and you think, okay, we're full speed ahead, and then you find out, maybe not. So, that, I mean, I think that's
pull the brakes.
A challenge. Because things change so fast. I mean, being in human resources, I'm able to work from home, but we're an essential business, so our operations are still running. So I'm helping, you know, I spend a lot of time on the CDC's website. We get legal briefs, just making sure of things like which states do we have to have employees wear masks? You know, what things are going on that we have to do, health checks, and what's happening, you know, just in terms of testing. And as we see the shift, like this almost is this second wave or end of the first wave, I'm not sure where we are, is almost scarier than the first time, because, you know, things just change in every city, every county's different. It's just really challenging to keep up.
I know in our house, it seems like these last 2 weeks when numbers started going up again were even harder than the beginning, because we kind of felt like we'd rounded a corner, and then we had to kind of sit everybody down again and say, well, the fall plans that we thought we were going to be making, where you go back to school and you go back to school just maybe for part-time or whatever, may change again.
Yep, exactly.
So you said your son plays baseball. We just talked to a teacher who conducts an orchestra, sort of like a baseball player where there's a lot of interaction. How has that been for him not being able to play?
It was difficult. I mean, he really enjoys baseball. So that was very challenging. He did do some things on his own. He's turned the garage, he's got mats in the garage, and you know, just really tried to keep up with his workouts, but it was definitely challenging. I mean, he found the school part towards the end of the school year. He's 17, so he was, you know, I didn't have to do a whole lot in terms of assisting him with, you know, with his studies. But he had to keep up with that. And, you know, initially we had some challenges, like, did you log in? You did your work, but did you log in so they know your attendance counted? So, you know, other than that and occasional emails that we get from teachers on updates, he was kind of on his own to do those things. And then he took it upon himself to keep up with his workouts as much as he could. Because at first he could still go to parks, but then once they started closing the parks, he couldn't do that anymore.
Yeah. So you also care for your mother. Is that's right?
I do. I do. And at the beginning of the pandemic, my mother actually was living in an adult community. And at first they were taking our temperatures, and then they started to limit visitors. And 2 weeks into it, which I totally understand why they were doing things the way that they were doing, because at the time, you know, I think the biggest news was what was going on in Seattle and in adult living facilities there.
Right.
So, but we at some point we couldn't visit her, and they stopped all of the activities because, I mean, her days were filled with, you know, the 9 o'clock stroll, lunch with a group of people, and it was very, very social. That was much of the reason she was there. But because of coronavirus, they had to stop doing those things. And my mother's extremely social, and there was, I think she just would not have been able to handle it without all of the activities, because they literally started to deliver food to each unit instead of them, you know, congregating and going into the cafeteria. So we ended up moving her out because she just, I mean, she just couldn't take the isolation.
Yeah. So if you could stay with us, please. We're going to bring in another guest. Andrew Baker is joining us now. Andrew is a marine biology professor at the University of Miami, and he has 3 kids, a daughter and 2 boys. His daughter just graduated from Mast Academy this year. So, Andrew, how are you?
Very good. Thanks for having us on the call.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. So tell us how, I know the last time we talked, your daughter was just looking at colleges. I think it was a year ago when I asked about her. Tell me, how did that go? How did you make the decision? Because now she's a senior. She's headed to, where did you guys end up deciding?
She is headed to the University of Miami. So she's going to be staying local. And we went through the process of looking at colleges, applying, but we sort of put off the process of visiting colleges until we knew, sort of had a better idea of where she would like to go. And obviously then, as we started to get offers coming in, we were sort of unable to go and visit colleges. So I think actually, you know, the coronavirus pandemic has played a large role actually in this college decision-making process.
So, and Taya is there with you, right, Taya?
Yeah, hi.
Hi. So tell us what, how did you feel about making these decisions? And I know you talked it over with your parents, obviously, but what, how did the virus play into to your decision?
I mean, yeah, it was a little difficult. I had a discussion with my dad once I kind of got all my offers back. And he told me, he was like, you know, like, I really support whatever you want to do and wherever you want to go, because initially I didn't really want to stay in Miami. I wanted to go to the Northeast, right. But he suggested it was better to stay closer to home with all the uncertainty with the virus. And I agreed with him. So I ended up choosing UM, which is, I'm really excited about too. So it's not like, oh, like I'll just go to UM then. Like, no, I was happy to go too.
Right. It's, yeah, I have to say, as a parent, when my daughter, she wanted to go across the country, and when she decided to stay in Florida, I was very happy.
Yeah.
And that was before the virus, so I can only imagine your dad's reaction now.
I'm wondering, Valencia, are you having that kind of conversation with your son about college in a year?
Oh, absolutely.
Trying to guide him closer to home, maybe, and maybe not look at the west coast of the United States where his sister is.
Definitely. And I think he's the kind of kid who probably wouldn't mind staying close to home.
So do you, Andrew and Taya, for the fall semester, do you know what that's going to look like yet?
We sort of have an idea of how things are going to look, but obviously there's still 2 months or almost 2 months before the first day of classes, and a lot can change between now and then. But I think there's a real effort on the part of the university to try to make it as normal a year as possible from a sort of a teaching perspective. So I think there's an effort to keep classes in person, but to have sort of virtual options. But it's a very, you know, it's a very mobile field. And in fact, I think there's a student family town hall tomorrow to sort of discuss and hear questions about exactly these kinds of issues, and to sort of discuss, you know, what families' concerns are and what the university is doing to keep kids safe and still make sure that there's a great college experience and great teaching. But it is, you know, it's an uncertain time.
It's Tom. Congratulations on graduating high school and
Thank you.
I'm just wondering how your senior year summer has been, right? I mean, you graduated high school at home, right? Yeah, and how do you talk about that with your dad? How do you navigate, you know, the social pressures of being a teenager during the quarantine, and how do you kind of negotiate that with your dad?
Yeah, well, it's been difficult. I mean, we talk about it pretty much on a weekly basis, but I graduated like 2 weeks ago, so I've really been on summer for 2 weeks now, and I mean, a lot of my friends are just like out and seeing each other and going to parties. Like there were graduation parties that I didn't go to, and my friends took graduation pictures that I didn't go to either, just because, you know, they weren't social distancing. So, and I don't, like, it's rough kind of when you're the only one wearing a mask. It's like, you know, people are like, oh, like, just take it off. So it's there's kind of that pressure too. So I didn't want to be a part of that. But, yeah, as of right now, I kind of just stay home. I see one or two people, like my best friend or boyfriend, like social distancing. We hang out outside or go to the beach and stuff like that.
Yeah, Valencia, I'm wondering, like, my kids are a little younger. One is a teenager, but our rules are, okay, one, two friends at the most has to be outside and with the mask on. And we're kind of doing the honor system, right? Because we're not there policing them, but we're saying, listen, this is, here are the public health consequences and concerns. By the time you're a teenager, you kind of can understand some of those things. How are you negotiating that with your son before his senior year, Valencia?
Talking to him about, well, I have a kit in each car with mask, hand sanitizer, gloves. You know, I talked to him about the importance of social distancing, and but I also recognize that he's 17, so I've gotten some eye rolls.
Audible eye rolls, usually, right?
Yeah. Exactly. But, you know, just continuing to share with him the importance of social distancing, and if you can't, you got to wear that mask. You know, going into the stores where it's required, I know he's doing it. Most of the time he's outside, and they have started practice. So, you know, I'm constantly on him about just keeping the distance, using the hand sanitizer, wearing the mask. But it's also, you know, it's challenging with baseball, you know, staying out of the dugout. And, you know, as we prepare for the summer, I do really have concerns, just because cases are still rising here. And it is, you know, it's hot outside, I think helps, but it's still a concern.
Yeah. So Taya, let me ask you this. You have two younger brothers, right?
Yeah.
So how do you guys talk about the virus? Do you give them advice? Do they seek advice? How are you guys getting along spending so much time together this summer?
Yeah, it's been good so far. We talk about it a little bit, but I mean, since we talk about it so much with our parents, we kind of try to talk about other things too, because it gets a little overwhelming. But I don't know, like, they kind of like, they like playing Xbox and they game with their friends too. And then we kind of all interact like at dinner and stuff, but it's gone like pretty smoothly. No one's on each other's back all the time. So
I have to say, in my own house, I have three kids too, and they have been getting along better than ever. So I don't know who like sprinkled fairy dust over our house and said, let's all, you know, get along, but it's worked out. So Andrew, when the school year was still ongoing and you had these, you know, three kids at home, how was the transition to online learning and having to sort of, you know, ride herd on an active bunch of kids?
It was definitely a transition. You know, from my perspective, you know, I can work from home, so I was able to sort of generally be around. But the kids, you know, had varying degrees of difficulty transitioning to just completely online learning, which is, you know, on some level is sort of being self-taught, basically guiding yourself through a chapter and then sort of taking tests and it can be hard to do that, and there's a lot of variation between schools in how they manage the process, and obviously, you know, huge amounts of differences between kids, even in my own family, in how well they were able to make that transition.
Well, and at the top of the show, we talked about parental confessions and what you let your kids maybe get away with that you wouldn't normally. Mine was that we let them sleep in because we can get work done when they're sleeping.
Yeah. So this time has been sort of one of the hardest times I've had as a parent. And because you know, the atmosphere is changing and we get new news in every day about what's happening. There's definitely been concessions made, you know, with kids not being able to go out and see their friends and basically being in lockdown for much of March and April and May.
Right.
There's definitely been concessions. You know, I think before the coronavirus, we sort of used to beat ourselves up as parents over the amount of time that our kids would spend on devices, and we'd impose strict limits. You know, you can have an hour here, you can have 2 hours there, and various little apps that try to limit all of that. And I have to say that, you know, now that we're in a situation where they can't socialize in person, the devices, and in particular the sort of interactivity of devices, whether it's on their phone or whether it's on the Xbox or something like that, the opportunity to have to sort of be with their friends in this sort of virtual space has actually been kind of a lifeline. And so, you know, I beat myself up all the time, am I being a bad parent? But, you know, one of those concessions is, you know, I love it that I can walk down the corridor outside their bedroom and hear all this yelling and shouting and insults being hurled at other people online.
We have the same.
It almost feels as if there are a bunch of kids in that room.
My three kids will play the same game, and I can sit and hear one yell from their room at the other one on the other side of the house.
Right. But these are kids that are in, you know, different parts of Miami, all sitting in their own bedrooms or living rooms or whatever, and playing virtually and still interacting, still being friends, just not in the physical space.
Right.
That's actually been good. So, you know, there's definitely a silver lining to the device use and to the sort of the availability of it and just how ubiquitous it's become in our lives.
Valencia, I'm wondering have you experienced the same thing with your son?
Oh, absolutely. It's been, it's helped him stay connected. I mean, early on, we had to upgrade our internet because my husband works from home too. So between my son, school, games, and then my work, my husband's work, at one point we had to call our internet provider, and they said, you have 32 devices connected. So we had a little bit too much going on and had to, back away from some of the connections. But yeah, he's definitely used the gaming and the social media to stay close to friends from, you know, I think he's even actually reconnected with friends from middle school.
Right. Well, so thank you so much, Valencia and Taya and Andrew. We really appreciate you guys taking the time to be part of the show today.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Great to have you. Yeah. We're going to talk more about parenting during the pandemic. Share your stories with us. 800-743-9576. You can join our conversation. 800-743-WLRN. And we're streaming live during the 9 a.m. hour on WLRN's Facebook page.
Welcome back to WLRN Connects. I'm Jenny Stiletovich.
And I'm Tom Hudson. We are live during this 9 a.m. hour. If you have kids, are they still asleep? Are you letting your teenager or 20-something kid go out, but still recognize social distancing protocols? Or do you make them wear a mask? We're talking about parenting during the pandemic, live in this 9 a.m. hour. 800-743-9576. 800-743-WLRN to join our conversation. Also streaming live video during the 9 a.m. hour on WLRN's Facebook page.
So our next guest is Daniela Pierre. She's an academic advisor at Miami-Dade College and a single mom to two kids who graduated from high school this year. Hi, Daniela.
Good morning.
How are you? Can you tell us a little bit about your kids?
Yes. Thank you all for having me. I have two teenagers, graduates of the class of 2020.
Congratulations.
Both attended all 4 years at Booker T. Washington Senior High, home of tornadoes. And looking forward to their next chapter, just kind of uncertain of how they will discover that chapter, whether it would be on campus or online.
Right. A lot of change. So you're a single mom. My mom was a single mom too. So I realize or understand how much of a responsibility it can be and how it can be difficult and lonely too. And I'm wondering for you, I'm not even sure how to ask the question. What are some of the bigger challenges? Because sort of you're the parent.
Yeah, a lot of the challenges, number one, once the school district decided to move education online, we didn't have internet at home. For years, I never was able to afford it or even have the device that were compatible enough to actually have the internet inside of our home. So we worked primarily off of our cell phones, which came with our data package with internet. However, most of the platforms and the work assignments that are required by Dade County Public Schools are not compatible oftentimes with cell phones. So thankfully, they had the device loan that they can loan out to students. And then through Comcast, which offered the free internet service, we were able to connect that way. But it was a delay. But once we got connected, it was a lot of work for my children to make up. But nonetheless, we were able to get connected in the very end.
Right. And so how did they pivot to the online learning? Did that suit them? Or was that, I have, well, like with my three kids, some, you know, it was fine. Others did not like it at all.
Yeah. Well, so I have two children, a boy and a girl. With my daughter, it was pretty much no problem with her. Doing work online. However, with my son, there was some trepidations there. I look at the challenges. Working online is not just a click of a button. It entails a lot of reading comprehension, a lot of critical thinking, a lot of computer literacy. Yes, which is true. A lot of computer literacy. And if you don't have those mastered, at least at least the intermediate level, it makes learning that much more difficult.
Yeah.
So where my daughter was able to master that with no problems and not need so much guided assistance, my son, on the other hand, needed that additional assistance. And, you know, that kind of, you know, impacted me because I then had to work online. Then Miami-Dade College moved us to work online. So it was like, well, I'm working 9 to 5, but mom, my assignment is due at noon. You know, like, how do I actually get all this moving with me being the only adult in the household? So that was some challenges for us all.
Did you feel prepared to help them online? I know a lot of times my kids will ask me to, they're the experts when it comes to online stuff. So I found that challenging, just sort of navigating sometimes some of the things that they needed to get done.
Yeah, no, I wasn't always prepared and I always didn't have the time. We're home under sheltering orders, you know, there's a lot of things that need to be done in the home. And of course, at the same time I was working, we had our own students through the college trying to get them enrolled for the next term. So that was a lot. But no, I wasn't always prepared. And some of the assignments that were given to my children, you know, were very lengthy assignments that required them to go to multiple internet sites. And, you know, sometimes their books were still in the class. How would they get the information? So it was a lot. So we use a lot of Google, a lot of educational websites to try to make it through.
Danielle, it's Tom. Congratulations on the graduating seniors. That is no small feat in the best of times, let alone during a pandemic. It is worth continuing to remind ourselves and to celebrate. How do you guys talk about kind of the future and just all the uncertainty? How do you talk about the virus with the kids? Danielle, are you still with us?
Yes, we definitely go over a lot of safety precautions. One, I tell them all the time to wash their hands, to sanitize if they're going out, and to most importantly, wear a face covering and or mask. As a matter of fact, because the masks that we've purchased are so thin, we're layering them with paper towels just to make certain that we have that extra barrier of protection. But while a lot of the younger people may think that the virus is not as serious, so I have to spend a lot of time, letting my children know, like, look, this is a very real matter. It has no vaccination as of yet. You don't know if a person would have it, and you need to make certain that you're safeguarding yourself.
Yeah. And are they receiving that message?
Well, I have to keep saying it. So yeah, they receive it. Receive it every day.
Yeah, Danielle, it's true.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining us. That's all our time for today. So thank you very much. Today, Peter Mertz was our technical director. Katie Lepre is our engagement editor. Polly Landis is our booking producer. Denise Royal helps with producing and answering the phones. And I'm Jenny Stiletovich.
Yeah, I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks again for following along on our Facebook Live on WLRN's Facebook page. Thanks for supporting WLRN, and thanks for listening.